Tonight I turn our attention again to another time, Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 18, where this little phrase, in the midst, is mentioned again. We could read, beginning at verse number 18 of Matthew 18, down through verse number 20, the Bible says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. Here's our little phrase. In the midst of thee. I'd like to take this text of Scripture, and this time this little phrase, in the midst, appears, and preach some thoughts tonight on the gathering authority of Christ. The gathering authority of Christ. This here is Christ's gathering. This is a serious gathering. I would remind you of this little word that is mentioned in verse number 20, gathered together. It means to be centered around one. It has the idea of an assembly of like-minded people. Of course, if you're going to study a Bible word, it would always help to go back to the law of first mention. When was this word gather mentioned the first time? It was mentioned the first time in Genesis in the creation account. The Bible said, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. You know, one drop of water does not have a lot of influence and power. The Bible said that God took all the drops and gathered them together, and they became a mighty rushing sea with power and force. You know, just one person in this building may not carry a lot of weight, but you get a bunch of people assembled together, like-minded, with Him in the midst, they are a mighty force that could move heaven and earth even this night. This is a serious place that we meet here. Matthew Henry said that two or three equals a quorum. That which is needed in order to carry on business. I'd have you to know we have way more than a quorum here tonight. Wonder if we could carry on some business and move heaven and earth. Of course, you know, you might have to check your motives for assembling with this group. By the way, how come you're here? Why did you come? Did you just come to see Him? I'm talking about that boyfriend. You just come to see her? Or did you just come because you know if you're not here, Brother Ken's going to call him, see what was wrong with him. I tell you, preacher, I just come tonight. I just felt like it was my obligation. I felt like it was my duty. Hey, ladies, How would you like your husband to come by on Valentine's and buy you some roses and tell you when he brings them to you, say, honey, I brought you some roses. I was going by the florist this morning. I just thought it was my obligation. I just felt like it was my duty all to bring you some. Will you today? You sure wouldn't want to get in the midst of that, would you? Yes, how come you're here tonight? Did you just come because the church is having their meeting, their spring revival? And I tell you, I'm a member there. I guess I ought to come. I ought to show up. I worked hard. I felt like I ought to just stayed at home. I just pushed myself and come on. Why are you here? What is your motive behind being here? I remind us tonight, when God refers to this gathering, this assembly, He says that we have dunamis power. That is the little Greek word. It is our little word for dynamite. I don't know how you feel about it, but if I was with a group tonight and they was going to handle dynamite, I'd want to be sort of serious about it. Huh? I wouldn't want to come over here just because I had to. You ever got around somebody just had to handle some dynamite? Ain't no telling what they liable to blow up. Huh? Talking about the gathering authority of Christ tonight. Let us not take lightly the power and force available to this assembly tonight to transact serious business tonight, to move heaven and hell tonight with this group right here. This is a serious gift. If, and I use if in a very strong way, if He's in the midst. He's the center point. He's the vocal point. He is the society. Everything's revolving around Him. Divine business can be transacted. Notice in our text tonight how this gathering authority operates. How can we be sure He's in the midst? The Bible mentions here in our text, there is the acceptance of the gathering. How is an assembly like this going to be accepted into His presence? Be assured that He is in the midst. And notice in this acceptance of the gathering, there will be, notice if you've got the Bible there, verse number 20, there will be mentioning acceptance. He said, for where two or three are gathered together in the name of the Baptist. It don't even say that in the Living Bible. He says, gathered together in my name. You know, we're living in a day and age where there's a lot of name dropping. It is so in the political realm. And you can go up the ladder sometimes in the business world if you can drop a name or two. I know them or I know them. Oh, I tell you, if you want to move heaven tonight, you must get in the name-dropping business. He said, mention my name up there. He'll give you acceptance. This assembly here ought to be for one thing, to exalt His name. That should have been the only reason that we come tonight, was to make His name bigger. He gets in the midst where He's getting all the glory. I don't know about you. Somebody goes to buttering my bread on both sides, I seem to get excited about it. Huh? People go to talking about me in a good way, it just sort of makes me feel good. Oh, he's nonetheless. You go to buttering his bread on both sides, you go to making a big deal about his name, he'll get in the mix. You can move heaven and hell by his power. Talking about mentioning and acceptance. He talks about in Matthew 6, hallowed be his name. John 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, he said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. He said in Acts, there's no other name among us in heaven whereby man must be saved. It's in that lovely name. This assembly is for one purpose. It is not to show off our Baptist wares tonight. It is not to have a pretty building, although y'all do. But one purpose is to exalt his name, that he might come in the midst. Is that your reason for being here tonight? And here, not only do we see mission and acceptance, but I see manifested acceptance. He said in verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. That little phrase, am I, that is that little word for Jehovah. That little word for Yahweh. The self-existent Christ. I'm not talking about his abiding presence. I'm talking about his manifested presence. I'm not talking about him showing up. I'm talking about him showing out. Do you remember the first time we were confronted with that word, I am? There was a burning bush experience in the life of Moses. He was going through his routine of tending sheep, and he caught his eye of a burning bush. It was a bush that had not been consumed, yet it was on fire, and the bush talked with Moses. Oh, if there's anything our church services need in this hour, we need a burning bush experience. What happens here at Liberty when God comes by here? You stop the singing, you stop the preaching, and you turn aside to the burning bush, and God speaks to you and I. Oh, we don't have a burning bush experience every service. I bet you they're few and far between. But I tell you what, you ought to come expecting a burning bush experience every time. I like what those disciples said when they came to Jesus. They said, sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, is that your reason for gathering together tonight? I tell you what, you get a group of people, and the only reason they have gathered together is to see Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. It's a powerful force. I'm going to tell you something. It's a power that Satan cannot reckon with. It'll leave him scratching his head. It'll leave him drooling at the mouth. A group of people together, like-minded, assembled around Christ. I'm talking about the gathering authority, the acceptance of gathering. But could I mention something else from this text? Not only do we see the acceptance of the gathering, but we see the approach of the gathering. How is he to be approached that I can be assured that he is in the midst? I notice in verse number 19, there is an agreeing approach. Agreeing approach. He says in our text in verse number 19, and again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree. Most Baptists, you couldn't get one of them to agree, let alone two of them. He said, if you can get two to agree on earth, was interested in this little word, agree. The little word agree has the idea of a number of instruments playing one sound, making a melodious song of praise. Oh, I tell you what, the Holy Ghost will not come down on nothing but unity tonight. He will not come upon a divided body. He'll only come upon you. Matter of fact, he said in the Psalms, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the Mount of Zion. For there, right there, where there was unity, the Lord commanded His blessing, even life forevermore." God is interested in like-minded people. See, the Holy Ghost, He doesn't take sides. Oh, if there is a division, whether it be in a family, whether it be in a nation, whether it be in a church, the Holy Ghost don't take that. He won't take your side over her side. Oh, no, no, no. He just withdraws Himself. Ah, He'll leave you to work it out. That's why on a lot of services the Holy Ghost don't come. See, you can't come over here tonight. You and your wife are being, yeah, yeah, and you hollered at the kids on the way over here. You're going to kill them. Don't you expect the Holy Ghost to come down on this place? He flew your coop when you come in the driveway. It do you good while I was preaching just getting this altar, because you may be the one that's keeping us from having a burning bush experience here tonight. Oh, He ain't coming to take sides. He'll come take off. Oh, no. I'm reminded of the old missionary couple. They were on the mission field. Had a dove. You know a dove in the Bible is a picture of the Holy Ghost. Had a dove that had made a nest at their door. He'd been nesting there for several weeks, just nesting right above the door. They were thrilled about it. They just felt like it was just God's sign that His blessings upon the house. The old missionary couple, him and the wife, got to yah-yahing at one another one day. And they raised a voice and hollered at one another. Boy, they looked and the dove was gone. Flew the coop. Oh, he was gone for several days, 3, 4, 5. He had not returned. The old missionary man told his wife, he said, "Honey," he said, "I tell you what we better do." He said, "We better adjust our lifestyle to the dove, because the dove's not going to adjust his lifestyle to us." Well, they started being real careful about what to say around the house. They just sort of walked around right easy, very careful about what to say and what they thought. All of a sudden, the dove come back and sat down at the door. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, if we want the dove to come, there must be an agreement in the house if the dove's going to come and sit down on the place and we transact divine business, move hell and heaven tonight. Huh? Hey, do you remember His disciples, the 110 in the upper room before Pentecost? Do you remember that little story? The Bible said He shut them up there. He admits. I was thinking about it. I wonder what it would be like to shut all of y'all up in just one of these little cubby holes over here. Hey, I bet you some of you over here get right some of this right over here.
Yeah.
Huh? How come you had them all shut up in one room? I'm telling you, that was a dysfunctional outfit He had shut up in that room. Oh, yeah, you had people like Peter. You liked to fish in his birthday suit. Telling you, you had some weird crowd in there. Well, what is He waiting for? The Bible said He waited for this. He said when they were in one accord, the Holy Ghost came. How come you reckon the Holy Ghost ain't coming on us much? You ain't got to go down to Titusville, get you a rocket scientist degree. Because there's some over here don't agree with some over here, don't agree with some over here, and God ain't coming down on it. There is a unified effort. God will manifest Himself. There is an agreeing approach. But I notice in this agreeing approach, not only does it have the idea of agreement, the text says, as touching, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst. He says, if two or three shall agree on earth, as touching anything. That little word touching has the idea of fully identifying with, sympathizing with. Hey, you cannot touch this world and sympathize with their plight tonight until there's unity in the house. God will not move upon this community until there is the fire of agreement in this house. I tell you, if there's a fire of agreement in this house, you'll have to tear this building down and build another one where there is fire. People have come to watch it burn. Huh? Must be that agreement is touching, that agreeing approach. But I notice in this text, this approach of the gathering, not only is there an agreeing approach, but there is an asking approach. Hey, before you come over here tonight, do you ask God for anything? If you didn't, you hadn't been surprised, had you? You got what you come after, didn't you? Oh yeah, you ain't been shocked and awed tonight, have you? There's a brother there, he asked for something before he came over here. You don't act like that if you ain't asked for nothing. Oh yeah. Notice this asking approach in verse number 19. Again, I say unto you that if two or three of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, that they shall ask. They shall ask. That little word ask, a request that is a must. A request that has the emphasis behind it, I will not be denied. You asking God for anything as you come from service to service? Sort of reminds me of the old fellow that went down to the Sears and Roebuck's mail order catalog. Told the old girl, said, I come to pick up my order. He said, what's the telephone number? Give it to her, and she programmed the telephone order in there. And she said, sir, she said, I don't have any order for you. Said, when did you place your order? He said, oh, I didn't place it. I just come to pick it up. You can't pick up nothing if you ain't placed your order. God has not surprised some of you here tonight. You didn't ask Him for nothing, and He ain't giving you nothing. Wonder what would have happened if this group would have got together sometime today and collectively with one voice cried out to God, we'd like to have a burning bush experience over there tonight. I hope Brother Gillum don't even get to preach. We'll have to turn aside and hear the voice of God. You reckon God might have honored that and come into our midst? We might could have moved hell and heaven here tonight. Some of your loved ones might have gotten saved tonight and them not even here. I like that, don't you? He says, ask, and the text says, watch it, don't miss it. He says this little word, ask, has the idea of asking with anticipation. Not only do I ask, but I look for something to happen. But he says when we ask, he says in verse number 19, it shall be done. I've been so interested. That little phrase, it shall be done, has been so sweet to me just in my thinking. The little phrase, it shall be done, it has the idea of to already be and be become. God says, I'll give you things that I already had ready to give you. Oh, I wonder if we just miss a lot of things simply because we don't ask. Oh, I wish this body could get a hold of the fact. You know, I remember the first time I come in contact with this verse. It was years ago. I pastored for 18 years in Athens, Georgia. I always pastored a little church. I don't know. I think I got it up to 50 one time, but it usually stayed around 25 or 30. You imagine somebody can preach as good as I can and pastor a church that small. Huh? Just the way it was. Everybody told me I was the greatest preacher they ever heard on their way out the door. I don't know why that was, but you know, we had to work, and I had three boys, and I come in contact with this verse. We would often have pressing bills upon us, maybe taxes would do, and we'd need large amounts of money. I've gotten the wife around the table many times, and the three boys, and we've put an envelope in the middle of the table, and we've written the amount upon the envelopes, and we've laid our hands on it, and cried out to God with this verse, agreeing that we needed that amount, and cussing and asking God only to see it come in the mailbox, either that day or the next day, and my Father, my boys, God's ability to supply. Matter of fact, my oldest boy one day, his girlfriend was over there. They were coming in the driveway, and he told her, he said, "Don't ever mess with the mailbox around here." He said, "My daddy lives out of it." I'm talking about tonight, we have not in this assembly because we ask not. We are a mighty force tonight if we're collectively united around Him and He is in the midst. Talking about the approach of the gathering, the acceptance of the gathering. Could I mention this last little thought before we go to the house? Could I mention the ability of the gathering? What is to be gained tonight if this group here became like-minded, unified, and we had Christ in the midst? What kind of ability could we have, preacher? This text here tells us we could have binding ability. Whoa! Binding ability. Watch it for yourselves. Verse number 18, he said, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." This little word, bind, it is a petition or a request that is a must. It is an absolute. It is something that must be done now. I was thinking about this word, bind, tonight. Its first use was in Exodus, where the Bible says the breastplate of the priest was bound to his chest. Speaking of the people of God. Hey, do you know any tonight that needs to be bound to the heart of God tonight? Do you know any that you'd like to see God bind them to Him? I was noticing another time, the second time this little word bound was used. Genesis 22, it says, Isaac was bound as a living sacrifice. Do you know any tonight that are walking away from God? You'd like to see God bind them to His heart tonight and cause them to be a living sacrifice. I'm here to tell you tonight, they'll never be bound to Him down here until they're bound to Him up there. We're talking to men a lot about God, and it's to no avail. We better start talking to God about men. My oldest boy, I don't know if he's saved or not. He made a profession when he was 5 years old, but I've never seen any fruit out of it. I was praying the other day, and I was asking the Lord. I said, "Lord," I said, "what could I possibly say to that boy? He's 30 years old. He'd be a very successful businessman. He's in the building houses now. He's making money hand over fist, but no God, especially for my granddaughter." Said, "what could I possibly say that maybe could help it?" Oh, God whispered to me. He said, "the initiation of his salvation is not with you." He said, "you can't get him loose down here until I loose him up there." Oh, I'm here to tell you tonight, You can't get anybody saved down here until you get them saved up there. I tell you, if they ever get saved up there, they'll get saved down here. Did you know that this little group right here tonight has binding ability if they would get unified and of one mind and not just to have it my way? Huh? Not get the feelings hurt about everything. Not only binding authority, but loosing ability. That little word he says, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, means to break out, to dissolve, to put off, to tear away. Do you know any tonight that need to be turned away and torn away from the forces of hell? Sin and temptation are all open in their life. We can assemble here tonight and see the forces of hell put in vain with our loved ones. They be loose and set free. I'm interested in it tonight, aren't you? I'm interested in the ability of the gathering. Him binding some things in heaven and loosing some things on the earth. Of course, I don't know how it is with you. I'm sure probably you're much further along than I am in this situation. But I have found the secret, I believe, in my own heart as to why I do not see more of a manifested presence of God and a loosening and binding effort even in my own life. And it is in a very famous prayer that is prayed in the Bible. I thought I'd read it to you. Let it just sort of soak in your head. As I read it to you, check me out and see if I read it right. Here's what the little prayer says. It's in 2 Chronicles. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my hand, turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Did I quote it right? No, I did not. I quoted it just like I usually live it, though. I come seeking His hand. No, that verse says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face. Most of us, all we want God for is to do something for us. Take Him out of His box. We're going to play with Him because we're in a jam. Susie Bell's got double gallbladder surgery tomorrow. Let's take Him out and see what He can do. I tell you what He's going to do. Nothing. But oh, for that people that come and say, God, I don't want You to do nothing for me. You don't have to be good to me no more. I don't care if You don't bless me no more. I don't care if You take everything I got. I'm left with the clothes on my back and I got to catch a bus to work in the morning. I just want to see Your face. I just want to be overcome with Your mighty presence. Oh, I'm talking about tonight. We're gathered together. Is that your motive tonight? To see His face. I tell you, if it is, sin can be bound in the life of the saints. Sinners can be loosed and set free. Our gathering is for serious business. As the one. When is the last time you saw any serious business transacted? Would you stand with us tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. The gathering thought of our Lord. He's in the midst. Hell can be pushed back. Heaven's power unleashed. I thought maybe we wouldn't have no singing tonight, wouldn't play no piano for you, Wouldn't twist your arm, not try to get you to do nothing. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I'm just sort of tired of the normal. I'm just sort of, just had enough of the mundane. Preacher, I'd like to collectively unify my heart with some others here at the church. I'd like to have some more of those burning bush services where we could hear them come a-screaming, 'Oh my God, I need to get saved.' Maybe see them when they ride by the building, the power of the Holy Ghost will so grip them, they'll have to turn the car in here. I want to gather together with Him in the midst." That's your heart tonight. Maybe you're here tonight lost yourself. Maybe you got a dose of religion, not a dose of salvation. Maybe God spoke to you about your lost condition tonight. Won't you get in this altar tonight? Ask God to save you. Hey, young people, maybe you're and with your parents, they just don't understand. I tell you one thing I understand, the Holy Ghost flew the coop when you got crossways with them. You are upon life seas and you are sailing in your own stead. He's not captaining. I tell you what, I'd get right tonight with that one I'm crossways with. Maybe, I can't assure you, but maybe the dove would come back, sit down on the situation while we wait. Need to come? Come. Seek Him while He can be found. Call on Him while He's near.